Welcome to Pod Save America. I'm John Favreau.
I'm John Lovett.
I'm Tommy Vitor.
In studio today, we are very lucky to have the co-captain of the World Cup champion United States national women's soccer team, Megan Rapinoe.
Oh my goodness. I'm clapping
for coming.
Myself.
Thanks for being here. I know it's been a busy day for you.
Oh my God, of course. This is like the highlight. All the other stuff, like, you know, they make you do, but like this one I want to do.
Well, that's so nice of you.
Yeah. That's awesome. That means so much.
It's literally the most excited our team has ever been. Most people don't show up every day, and there's like 60 people out there to greet you and cheer. So this is
most awesome. People just don't even come into the office.
You would be surprised.
Yeah. We took a photo with Hickenlooper, did not get the same response.
Just a couple people short.
Can we geek out about soccer for a minute?
Yeah, let's geek
out. Just be fans.
Let's go.
Can we talk about the pose?
Yes.
This is great radio. I'm doing... it was the post-France.
You all know what we're doing.
Yeah.
You've done it a couple times, I think, in my research.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from? Because it looks like a statue. I'm looking at a Degas. There's
I
like
know.
A sense of motion.
I don't know where it came from. I did it before the World Cup once against Australia in Denver. Yeah, that was the first and I think the only non-World Cup pose. I think it was just like a big moment in the game. It was kind of a big game for us in the lead up. They were obviously one of the contenders, you know, to win the whole thing. And we took the lead and I was just like, yes.
And now
I did this.
One of the most iconic sports photos of all time.
I know. That's and now it's really taken on a life of its own.
It's cool to find a new arm movement. You'd think they'd all be taken, but you found a new one.
Yeah.
To make your own.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is an accomplishment.
And without like a, there's no like, rah, and it's just kind of like, yes.
It's cool.
I know.
How do you deal with the pressure and expectations that are on you walking into that final game, not just as a player, but as an advocate, as someone who just got attacked by the President of the United States? Like, how do you get everything out of your head and just sort of focus on the game?
You know what's funny? I don't think I try to get everything out. I don't think that's ever really been my approach, even just on the field. Like sometimes things are going through my head, or I have a song stuck in my head, or I'm like, I can hear the crowd, or I can hear specific people in the crowd. I don't think it's ever worked for me to just like be in the zone. I think I don't want to be alone in there. That's terrifying. So I think I just like always have kind of a lot going on in there, and we always have pressure on us, and there's always a million things going on. I call ourselves the traveling circus at all times, whether it's in a World Cup or not. So I think even though it is elevated, I kind of just try to roll with it. And like, we live this ridiculously good, fun, amazing life. So a little more pressure, I guess, is not too bad.
Why are the male players all so hot?
They are all hot. I know.
It's weird.
It is weird. I don't know what it is. It's the metrosexuality of men's soccer, maybe?
Yeah, they are. They all put themselves together
very
well.
There's no bears in there.
No.
None.
No, they're very lithe.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did I take this off the rails?
No, that's a good question. Honestly, yeah. I've been wondering the same thing.
Further into that.
So just something to think about.
Yeah.
Something to dive into later.
Mm-hmm.
You did a lot of research on this point.
Yeah, sounds like you dove in already.
You guys had this big win. You came back. You did this awesome event yesterday in New York. You shut down the motherfucking city, as you said. But the speech itself was this really cool call to arms for citizenship, I felt like. Like you said, you're more than someone who tunes in every 4 years, and you called on the fans to make their communities better, step outside yourself, be bigger, be better. Like, what made you turn that moment into something so big that was about more than just that game?
I think, honestly, there's been a little bit of a shift in my messaging just since we got back. Almost, I think there's been, as you guys know, so much fighting and contention. And we're just fighting all of the time, fighting against, you know, our federation and fighting against society and all of us. And like, I'm just sick of the fighting. Like, it's exhausting. I don't want to do that anymore. And I don't think anyone really wants to do that. And I don't think we're getting anywhere quickly doing it like that. So it's kind of just, I guess, the next step of it. I think that the fight is important, but then it's like you can't just sort of swing in the air forever. So this feels like the next step. What can everyone do? I think sometimes people feel totally overwhelmed, especially in the last few years with this, current political climate and cultural climate. It's exhausting all the time. But maybe if you just do one small thing each day, that can sort of help change, and then just try to get it down to a little bit more granular than trying to change the world all at one time.
So you were one of the first white athletes to join Colin Kaepernick in kneeling during the national anthem. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a decision that comes with no small amount of risk.
Yeah.
How did you sort of weigh that, those risks and ultimately make the decision to do that?
Well, if you know me at all, you know I don't weigh risks at cool. all or that's think cool. ahead before I do
that's
pretty
awesome.
Much anything.
That's, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it all came about very quickly. Obviously, I've, you know, pay attention to sports and the news, so I knew what was happening, had seen a number of interviews by him, and it just resonated very deeply and very strongly with me. And it was sort of one of those things. It was like, what do you do about police brutality in this country? Like, what am I going to do about something so ingrained as just me, who doesn't have time to, like, you know, get in there and make policy and be, you know, whatever. So that just in that moment, I just felt like we had a game coming up, and it was kind of, I think maybe the night before, I just was kind of thinking about it, and I'm like, this is like something that you should do. And I just kind of just did it.
Have you always been politically active, politically interested, like your whole life? Or is this something that happened over the last couple of years since Trump was elected? Or was it?
No, I think, especially since college, mm-hmm. I think much more. I was raised in Redding, California, which is pretty, you know, rural, small town, very conservative.
Yeah.
And then went to Portland, Oregon for college. And I feel like my world just got
That's different.
Completely blown yeah, apart. Right. Yeah, I was like, first realized I was gay. Awesome.
Did you not realize you were gay till you got to Portland?
Yes.
That happens to people.
It was actually embarrassing big, looking back, yeah. like... Not to stereotype pictures, but straight bowl cut, cut the sleeves off everything. Didn't wear a shirt till I was 12. I was like, you know, just such a little like baby butch back then. And I like looked back as soon as I found out, I was like, no one told me.
Did they say tomboy?
This is the biggest betrayal.
Did they call you tomboy?
Yeah. And I was like, you're damn right, tomboy. So going to Portland, I feel like my whole world just got opened up. Then so I kind of started to pay attention more, but definitely as I've gotten older, and then I think being on the team has always kind of been political. I think we have to. I think female athletes just in general, especially gay female athletes, we're just political just for being who we are, so it kind of right. made sense.
But is it weird that, I mean, I feel like in America, we think that freedom of speech doesn't always extend to athletes for some reason, right? Like LeBron James is told to shut up and dribble.
I know.
Right? Brandi Chastain was told not to celebrate how she wanted to, mm-hmm. right? Like, why do you think that is? And is that another impediment to speaking out as an athlete?
I don't know why that is, because it's like some of the biggest like cultural shifts and change makers in our history have been athletes. And as a culture that's obsessed with celebrity in particular, athlete celebrity, it's amazing that we don't sort of lean on those people more to kind of help shape and shift culture as it is. And I think a lot of athletes don't feel comfortable doing that. They feel like there's so much on the line and this is their one chance to mm-hmm. live their dream. And rightfully so. I mean, I think Colin Kaepernick, obviously the perfect example of that right yeah. now. You know, they took everything away from him on purpose just to silence his message. So I think athletes feel a fear of doing it, but it's actually very liberating too.
So part of this is, you know, what it means. You know, there's the criticism I think you've gotten a lot of that people like Colin Kaepernick have gotten a lot of is, can't you just leave politics off the field, right? But have you ever felt like you wanted to do that? Just literally just play the game and leave politics out of the field, or does that? Is it possible for you to participate in sports without commenting on the ways in which being an athlete as a gay woman changes what it means to play in sports?
It's impossible. It's totally impossible for me to do that. And I think really for any athlete, it's such a cross-section of society so often. So in that sense, I think it doesn't feel exhausting. I think a lot of people ask, like, how do you sort of manage both? And it's like, this is just normal life, and it doesn't feel it would be exhausting to not talk about it, because then you constantly have this thing that's there that you're sort of pushing to the side and not talking about. But I don't think it's possible for me as a gay female athlete to leave politics to the side.
When you said to 8x8, I'm not going to the fucking White House. Did you have any idea what that would lead to?
No.
Was it very just like...
No, it was totally planned. no, it's sort of, it was like the jersey unveil, and it was kind of, it was like a, you know, behind the scenes sort of moment. And I think I wasn't expecting it to blow up because I think it's, I've may have said it before, I would never go to the White House in this administration, or it was just pretty obvious that I would never go. So I didn't think it would be a thing. I mean, I guess you throw the F word in there and everyone freaks out a little bit. I do use it a lot. I need to maybe tone it down a little bit.
We do a few
times.
I know,
it's like, it's just in my normal flow. So then I get in these public moments and I'm, you know, screaming motherfucker in the middle of New York City and like cable television.
And Blasio's like, you talking to me?
Yeah.
The culture's a mess. It's not the problem.
Yeah. It's fine.
Least of our
concern. But no, I did not think that it would blow up into the president tweeting me.
What was that like? How did you find out, like, oh, the president just tweeted about me?
From our press officer with the team. I don't actually go on Twitter all that much.
Smart.
And I don't have any, like, notifications or anything like that on because that would just, like, totally drive me nuts. So I had to actually go look because he had sort of referenced something and I was like, oh, no. And this, we have a good relationship. We've obviously had a lot of media incidents to handle between all of us. So I was like, oh, dear, she did it again. What happened?
Yeah, but I mean, like, no one could be able to predict that our president is such a petty child that he views every issue through the prism of if you're mean or not mean to him.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You guys are world-class athletes representing the United States of America. You'd think you could take a little insult. But no, not with this guy.
It wasn't even an insult. Is that an insult? I mean, I guess.
No, well, he thinks it is.
I mean, it's an insult. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to go to the fucking White House while this joker is in there.
Yeah.
I would take that personally.
That's true.
If you said, oh, a party at Lovett's house over my dead fucking body, I'd say that hurt
Hell
my feelings.
No.
So he also did tweet that he was going to invite you anyway, turning what used to be an honor into quite a threat.
Yeah.
How's that played out?
Yeah.
You've been threatened to go to the seat of American power.
Yeah.
Force feed you Big Macs like a
foie gras goose.
The one downside of winning.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been oddly silent. And this is the preferred mode of communication for the president of the United States with all things in the world.
Right.
So it's not like there was like a, you know, another medium that he's using that I'm just
Like meeting
missing.
Kim Jong-un at the DMZ, inviting you to the White House. It's all in the same medium.
It's
same
all deal. One in the same.
But there's been no official invite yet.
Not publicly. I think that there has been some reaching out from the White House and from Congress and everybody to the Federation, but there's nothing public out there yet. From the White House.
Pod Save America is brought to you by Luna Bar, the first nutrition bar for women. Luna Bar is so proud of the players of the U.S. women's national soccer team.
That makes two of us, Luna Bar.
Luna Bar has a heritage of championing and supporting strong women who stand up for their worth. And they have been relentless in the fight for equality and raising awareness around the gender pay gap.
Can you champion and not support something? And can you support something and not champion it?
I don't know.
When Luna Bar learned that the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team World Champions would make $31,250 less than the men in their World Cup roster bonus, they knew they had to do something. So Luna Bar literally leveled the playing field by giving each of the 23 women named to the 2019 U.S. Women's World Cup team the $31,250 difference to make their roster bonus equal to the men's, a total of $718,750 donation.
Good for you, Luna Bar.
That's
amazing. Great.
Why? It was simply because they deserved it.
Money where your mouth is. Luna Bar.
Luna applauds everything that the entire team has done to help give women their rightful voice. These athletes are not only champions, they are role models and equality advocates paving the way for women and girls everywhere. And Luna is thrilled to be a part of this chance to hear more from Megan Rapinoe on Pod Save America.
That's right. That's right, folks. This is a specific ad for this specific episode. That's right.
The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team World Cup victory is not only a celebration of soccer, it's a celebration of the future of equality, because Luna Bar believes equality can't wait for someday. And thanks to Megan and the players of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, someday is now.
Someday is now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Talk about one of the relationships you're proudest of in your life and how you worked on yourself or the relationship to make it what it is today. I go to Starbucks every morning, and I have a great relationship with the people who work there. And that's where I feel like going today.
I love that.
They keep refusing to come with me to therapy. And so I'm going to have to just do it from FaceTime there.
And your therapist won't make you a good coffee.
No. That's what they say, you know?
What are you going
to
do?
You don't go to therapy for the coffee. You don't go to coffee for therapy. Right?
That's what
like,
they
it's
say.
It's like museum food.
That's what they say.
A common misconception about relationships is that they have to be easy to be right and stuff. But sometimes the best ones happen when both people put in the work to make them great. Right, Tommy?
Damn right.
Like you and me.
That's right.
Therapy can be a place to work through the challenges you face in all your relationships. Hey, we should have gotten therapy in 2018. Whether they're friends, work, your significant other, or anyone, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/PSA today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/PSA. There has been like universal, I think, outrage at the fact that you and your teammates are underpaid considering that you are the greatest in the world at doing something. Should we as allies in this cause be less focused on the disparity between you and the men's team when we talk about it and just talk about the fact that you make the Federation a ton of money and you deserve like a proportional share of that? Like, what's the best way for people to fight for you?
Yeah, I do think the compensation piece is talked about too much. It is it's a complex argument. Our pay structure is different. We play different games. We're different rankings in the world. Like, it's just apples to oranges. But I think what isn't different is investment in the teams, the care which with the teams are, you know, thought about, whether that's branding, marketing, you know, how much money is put in the coaching staff, how much money is put into the whole program, making it better, into the youth teams, into the way we travel and the way we stay. All of that, I think, should just be across the board the same. Until we have all of that the same and have those conversations, the compensation piece is kind of like the very last part of it. So like, why is it acceptable for all of these years that, you know, they're just spending less in investment to grow the game on the women's side than they are the men's side, especially since the Federation is a nonprofit?
Yeah.
What are your next steps on the fight for equal pay? What's coming up?
Mediation has been agreed upon. So yeah, that will be set, I think, once all of the dust settles a little bit from the World Cup, or at least people get back to their inboxes and start doing emails again. We'll sit down with them, I guess, start to try to
hammer it
hash
out.
This out. Yeah, should be interesting.
Fun.
should be so much fun. Like, I love mediation. I mean, yeah, it should be interesting.
I think like a lot of our listeners love you, love the national team. Like, they want to support all of you guys and everything you do, but they don't know the best way to do it, you know, in an off year, not an Olympic year or World Cup year. Like, what can they do if you're listening right now to support the women's national team, to support women's soccer in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a league that we play in for 5 or 6 months out of the year. So buy season tickets, give them to your friends, tell your friends and family, support that way. And that really helps support you know, a much larger pool of female athletes. There's only 23 players that were on the national team, and we have 9 teams in the league, and there's hundreds of players that play. I think the minimum salary this year is $15,000 for 6 months.
Wow.
So who are basically paying the teams to play. So you can go and watch those games, watch on TV, go to national team games, tell everyone that you know about it, buy jerseys. Wear jerseys to work.
We're all wearing jerseys. I had this already. I had this for such a long time. I always wear this jersey, and I wear soccer jerseys constantly. This is definitely not the second time I've worn a soccer jersey since I was 5 years old and cried because I wanted to go home and do math. So, already there.
So, yeah.
And then he became a math major. So. Yeah. It worked out okay.
Yeah.
A lot of commentators noted that 4th of July weekend, there was this split screen, right? So like, Trump's idea of patriotism is his celebration on the mall with a bunch of tanks.
Yeah, I didn't actually get to like actually really see it. Yeah, I'd been like reading in kind of in the lead up of it all, and I was like, oh God, how's this going to
go? It was
go
a bunch
down?
Of tanks and Republican donors. That was the 4th of July in Washington. And then, you know, on the other side, there's you and the team and what patriotism means to all of you. And a lot of people said, well, that's real patriotism. Has this given you opportunity to think about patriotism, what it means, how you think about it, how you define it?
I think I first started thinking about patriotism after I knelt, because I actually did not think that the reaction was going to be anywhere near as bad as it was. I feel like I thought that me being an ally in that way would sort of help move the conversation maybe forward and sort of bring people together more.
Right.
If they see someone like me doing it, someone looks like me, my color skin, maybe a woman, a gay woman, it's like, okay, I get it. It all sort of makes sense. That didn't happen. That was, wow, misread that one.
America pretty, in 2019.
Pretty
you know?
Severely.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was being super patriotic. I feel like I'm super patriotic. If we want to, you know, be this big, bad country and have, you know, be the superpower and be leading the way in everything, and then we're just not doing that at home, I don't think that that's patriotism. That's not cool.
Yeah. Well, it's like loving your country is being confident enough to know that it needs to change.
Right. A little self-reflection, a little self-help. It's always good. Look inwards. And I don't think criticizing your country, is bad. I don't understand why people think that makes us look weak in any way. I think being vulnerable in that way makes us look strong, and then we can actually get rid of that problem and then move on to the next one, and then we're even stronger. So I don't get it.
So you have become a household name. You've become someone incredibly famous very quickly and someone who people put a lot onto, right? You represent women's sports. You represent gay people. You represent liberals in the culture now. Do you feel any pressure now, different from what you felt before, just to win on the field, to be this ambassador for a whole bunch of different groups of people?
I felt that this World Cup, we had a lot of pressure for a lot of different reasons. I felt like if we didn't win, we would still be celebrated and it would be good. But not, you know, the sort of monumental change that I think is happening at the moment. I think I'm still digesting it all. I almost have 2 million Instagram followers.
Wow.
From 500,000
as winning the World
days.
Cup.
I mean,
because here's the thing, the World Cup doesn't like you when you put a photo up.
Nope.
It just says, see you later.
It says, see you in 4 years.
Yeah, these are likes that are going to happen every day.
So next step for you is Instagram influencer.
Yeah.
So
basically. Brands, if you're listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like you were adding pressure? I mean, you did like this incredibly baller thing as to say, if we win the World Cup, we're going to say fuck you to Donald Trump. And there were a lot of people that, speaking of patriotism, decided to root against you for that. You kind of, and then you went out and you did it anyway.
Called your shot.
That was cool. That's like that. Like Babe Ruth pointed somewhere.
There you go.
You know, he pointed out. That's what you did. You were the Babe Ruth of telling Donald Trump to go fuck himself.
We got a title.
Yes.
So that's cool.
I have been looking for a book title.
But did you? But did you know in that moment that you were also going to be creating more pressure in an already high pressurized situation? That now you've added this added thing of, if we win, we'll have like made a point to the president of the United States?
I think because it happened mid-tournament and we were sort of already in the mode and we have so much pressure already. And like the first game, we already had controversy over the celebrating. And
that was so dumb.
I know. I'm just like, you guys really, is this what we're talking about?
We're winning. We're scoring.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
That's what you do.
We do end zone dances.
Yeah.
We have a dunk. Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, why do we got to be picked apart about it?
They don't want America to score the most goals and be super pumped about it. They shouldn't have let us in the sport. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Don't allow us to play.
You know, very, very stiff upper lip shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, no, we're going to only score the goals we need. No.
Yeah, no, we're not. We're definitely not. So I think because it happened like it did, and we were already in the moment, it was already just wild as it could be, and there's no more pressure that you could put on. It's like you have to win the World Cup in spectacular fashion. What else is more than that? Even Donald Trump is more pressure than that. But I think it was a little, it actually happened at a good time within like the cycle of our games as well, because we had a few days in between before the game, so we were able to like digest it and address it. I addressed it like kind of head on in the press conference, and then it was just sort of put away, and then yeah, we played in the craziest game. That game against France was amazing. The atmosphere was like nothing I've ever experienced. Yeah.
That's so cool. So you might have noticed there's a primary happening on the Democratic side. There's like 35 people running.
I know.
You are going to be the most wanted surrogate in the history of presidential politics.
I don't know.
Is anyone interesting? Anybody making a couple phone calls? Mayor Pete on line one, Elizabeth Warren on line two.
Yeah. I think that there has been interest a little bit. I have not heard directly, but I think maybe once the dust settles a little bit.
Because
I want to pick the winner.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you don't want to be stuck with someone who just collapses. You know?
Yeah, that's going to be really embarrassing.
Are you worried at all that dancing with Bill de Blasio is bad for your brand?
Yes. 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 Definitely. He was on my float 4 years ago, and he was on it again this year. I thought, man, yeah, I hope he doesn't drag us down.
The even funnier thing, better thing about your speech yesterday was when you... So like Governor Cuomo, is that it?
It's Cuomo?
Cuomo.
Yeah. Cuomo.
Yeah, they all need to hear it.
Whatever.
That was, honestly, you not knowing Cuomo's name in front of Bill de Blasio was the happiest moment of that man's
It all goes
life.
Downhill from here.
Yeah,
for him.
That's
the race,
that is
everything
the best
else.
Thing
that
has ever
that
happened
was
to him.
Yesterday. We have goodness. To get you to Jimmy Kimmel, so we will leave you. Thank you so much for joining us today and for coming
God.
Here. This is the highlight of most people who work here. This is the highlight right here.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
I have to say, you guys were vital in my preparation and readiness for the World Cup. Music has no longer can no longer be a motivation for me in my workouts. I'm just like, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. I already know the song. I can't listen to music. I need something like to take me totally away from my workouts. So like literally 80% of my workouts, I listen to you guys in the podcast. It's long too, so I can like get through the whole thing.
Yeah, we're working on that. We're sorry.
Abreast of the news and keep myself woke and keep myself educated. And
is shit at the gym?
You're like, instead of music, what would really pump me up is a Dan Pfeiffer, Paul Ryan.
Yes!
That's
yes!
what I need right
Seriously.
Now.
Seriously. Like, I love it. You guys delivered the news in such an easy way to digest and learn. You're so smart. You're so entertaining. So thank you for that. Oh. Otherwise, it's like, I probably wouldn't have been prepared. And then, like, Donald Trump would be like, see, I told her. She's trying to win.
Do we get that in close-up?
It's the best thing that's ever happened to us.
We gotta pump
so really,
that out there
you
in
guys
the world.
Won the World Cup. Yeah, I mean,
we won the World fucking Cup.
Yeah, you did.
Megan Rapinoe, thank you for being here. Congratulations again.
Thanks.
You're the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.